Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. My name is Emily Sutherland, and I'm here to give today's talk on causes of crime and relate them to theories of crime. I'm going to look at three broad perspectives on crime: rational choice, biological determinism, and finally, sociological determinism. Let's look at the earliest theory of crime, rational choice. This is often referred to as the classical theory, and was developed in the 18th century by philosophers like Jeremy Bentham and Cesare Beccaria. They believed everyone is capable of committing crime. Crime, they thought, is an activity of total free will, and individuals weigh the consequences of their actions against the possible punishment. That is to say, anyone would commit a crime if they thought they would not be punished for it. Therefore, in their view, the way to prevent crime must be to make the cost of crime greater than the benefits. Make punishment harder, for example. Although this is an old idea, it is still popular today, with over 2 million people in America, for example, in prison. In the 19th century, science began to play a part in criminal theory, and biological determinism grew as a theory of the cause of crime. Various theories of this kind have existed for well over a century, and argue that crime is caused by psychological or physical factors that the criminal cannot help. There have been theories that try to explain criminal behaviour by analysing overall body type, by focusing on the appearance of the face, and even by looking at bumps on the head. While the more extreme examples of these theories may sound silly and outdated, some forms of biological determinism are still with us today, and some scientists are looking for the criminal gene, a gene that causes some individuals to become criminals. In effect, if we can find the criminal gene, then we can use medicine to stop criminal behaviour. In the early 20th century, more mainstream, society-based theories of the causes of crime were developed. The three main theories which are still with us today are learning theory, strain theory, and control theory. I'll describe briefly each of these in turn before going into them in more depth in later lectures. Learning theory was developed during the 1920s and 1930s and believes that crime, like any other behaviour, is learned from the people around you. When people around you think crime is an acceptable form of behaviour, criminality becomes a normal way of life. The second one, strain theory, sees crime as the result of a capitalist economy in which people are encouraged to get a good job and a good education. However, not everyone has the opportunity to get a good education or a good job, and this causes stress or strain, as people cannot reach their aims by legal means and try illegal methods instead. The third social theory is control theory, which looks at an individual's relationship with people who tie them into society, such as parents, family, or teachers, and looks at the criminal's usually poor self-image. The important consequence of these social theories is that they see criminals as people who were poorly or badly socialised. With proper treatment or re-socialisation, they can live a normal or non-criminal life. In effect, criminals don't need punishment, they need to be taught. Now, let's look at the earlier theory of the causes of crime in more detail. Philosophers like Bentham and Beccaria were really more concerned about the legal system than why people commit crime.